Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
Welcome to our show. Oh my goodness, hi.
Hi. So let me tell you about this really cool experience.
Please
that happened
do. I need something to brighten up my day.
Okay.
I had a stressful weekend, so okay. I am here at all ears.
Okay, so it's really cool. So someone told me about this vegan farm in, or it's called the Gentle Barn, and it's out in Santa Clarita. And basically, it's gorgeous. It's like this. They help rescue animals.
Aww.
And then you can go pet them and play with them. Everything is, their food that they serve is vegan. They don't allow any other food to come in. They're very compassionate. And of course, Remy, you know, my
yes.
older son, was obsessed and met the founder and like got a picture with her. It was so cute.
How
but it was
cute.
Just a really beautiful, I mean, there was like a chicken with a broken leg and Remy was petting it. And there was just, you know, a cow that had been rescued. And
let's have the founder on our show.
Oh my gosh. I was thinking the same thing when I met her. I was
How
thinking
beautiful
this,
is
it was
that?
So wonderful.
So what range of animals did they have?
Oh, they had everything. They had turkeys, chicken. They had an emu, goats. And I was like, molesting all of them because you know me. I love these animals. Like I literally was like hugging the cow.
Remember the emu farm that we went
yes!
to in Solvay?
And remember they're like, don't pet it. And right. I like snuck under the barbed wire and I was like, I gotta pet it. Like
it so, didn't bite you?
It didn't bite me, but I just remember Remy and I still laugh about it. Remember we were trying to feed them the food and you yeah. think they're all going to be like sweet and gentle and they're like and so like I remember Remy holding the tray was like, oh my God. So we always joke about it. But so that was nice. And I went to a birthday party with both kids at Woodley Park on Saturday, which is really cool. It was like a carnival theme.
Uh-huh.
So London was obsessed with the food. What else is new? He came back with like 8 lollipops and like cotton candy. Yeah. But yeah, it was a good weekend. So
is he still obsessed with food, Little London?
I've never seen anything like it. I mean, it's really comical at this point.
Wait, now when is Remy's birthday? Isn't he?
Remy's July.
Oh, he's all the way in July. For some reason, I thought it was really close, but
yeah.
No. Okay. And
yeah.
the little munchkin is November.
Exactly.
Yes.
Good job. Yeah.
Oh, I try to remember these things. Well, I will say that aside from some of the stresses I had over the weekend, I did take this beautiful hike in Newbury Park.
Oh.
I couldn't believe how green it is. It's
yes.
just so stunning. So I took a hike up to a waterfall. And it was just
oh my
really,
God, there's a waterfall
very therapeutic.
There?
Yeah, we have a couple right in my backyard also. You
no.
can hike down to the base and there's Paradise Falls there.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
Yeah. So I'm telling you, once you pass Calabasas, you just
wow.
keep on going. It's like you don't want to come back.
Right. That sounds really nice. Wow.
It was so green. It was so beautiful.
Mm.
And the temperature was great.
Yeah.
And I came out in sandals today. Like, I forgot it was going to rain.
I know. Me too. I was ready for my hike up Fryman. And then I was like, oh, it's going to rain. I mean, it had a couple drops. Let's not go crazy here, California. you know, a couple drops. So it wasn't too bad. So let's talk about last week's show.
Yes. Well, you got to have your own private reading with Josh. I'm getting one this next
week. Oh, yes.
Week.
I was wondering.
Next
okay.
week. Yep.
He
set
was,
an appointment.
Our
numerologist.
Really fantastic. Josh Siegel. He is a numerologist. And it was just really, really, I mean, fascinating. So basically, he takes your birth date and your full entire name at birth and does some crazy calculation, basically tells you about your life at different points. And he was spot on. I mean, it was really a great experience.
Did you go back over all the things that he said? And
you know what?
Like,
I got
really
to listen to
in.
It. I haven't.
Okay.
But I'm sure if I do, I mean, because it's a lot at once.
Oh,
that's why
yeah.
I was glad that record it when you
uh-huh.
when you see him, because it's a lot at once. But it was great.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. So next Monday. So by the time I have next week's show, I'll have some
oh, yes.
tidbits of information
oh,
for
good.
You.
Yeah,
he
hear.
Was great. Yeah, so check out Josh Siegel, Siegel, numerologist, if you want to get more information about him. Well, today we have a very exciting... Why don't you do it in a French accent?
Okay, today we have the very, very popular Michel Pascal. He is a...
I can hear him laughing at my horrible French accent.
No, it's beautiful.
No, I mean, that's an exaggeration. But yeah, I'm super excited. He is a French author, meditation teacher, singer, filmmaker, and photographer. Michel's unique brand of meditation is being practiced at Google, Harvard University, and many other major organizations. Before moving to the United States, Pascal lived in Copan Monastery in the Himalayas. He has spent more than 15 years adapting traditional teachings and practices for students around the world. His new book is Meditation for Daily Stress, 10 Practices for Immediate Well-Being.
Welcome, Michel.
Hello, bonjour Kelly, bonjour Debra.
Bonjour.
I am so happy to be in your show. And first, congratulations both for your wonderful sacred energy. In our world, we need positive energy. And really, congratulations together for your amazing energy that you give on your show every day. Thank you so much.
Oh, okay, so I'm crying.
I love you. So sweet. You're so sweet. Thank you.
So sweet. You know what I love about your book title? It's so appealing because for people like me who really have never made sincere efforts and attempts to really learn how to meditate, something that speaks to me when you say 10 practices for immediate well-being, it's like, I like that because yes. I can do that.
It's very important what you say, because what we need in our world, we need to be very active, very productive. How can we be active, productive if we are more calm? Mm-hmm. Because when we are stressed, everyone we know, we don't feel good, we are tired, and we don't feel good. But when we are calm, we are stable, we are happy, we are creative, we are more sexy, we are more productive. So it's so important to learn how to feel better immediately without effort. Because me, for example, when I teach for manager at Google or for prisoner in jail, I direct the meditation program for prisoners in Los Angeles. So we can be a manager, we can be a prisoner. We see that in our world, we are too much tired or too occupied. We are very busy and we have no time to say, oh, my friend, you must be sitting down, you must take a deep breath. We know it's not adapted to our world.
Right.
So meditation for daily stress, it's exactly a new way of meditation to feel more calm immediately in the traffic in Los Angeles, for example, at the workplace, when our coworkers are so stressed, when the manager is so stressed, how can I feel more calm immediately without effort? So we don't practice outside of the stress in a beautiful room, quiet. No. We practice inside the stress. Because we know when we practice outside of the stress, we are stressed again when we go back to our job.
It's true.
It's the truth.
Yes. Yep.
And it's interesting because it's exactly what we do in a monastery. You know, it is a thing to talk about spirituality, well-being, meditation. It's another thing when we live in a monastery. What we do in a monastery, we are not sitting down in contemplation 24 hours. Yeah. It's a cliche. Yes. We never do that. A life in a monastery, it's so active. We have the same life that we have in this life in LA or in New York. We have a life very active. But the difference, we are more calm. When we work, when we talk, when we cook, when we practice sport, we are present. We enjoy every minute of our life. So meditation for daily stress, it is not the cliché of the meditation. Take a deep breath, sitting down. No, we have no time to do that. It's not the cliché. It's the real etymology of the word meditation. In a monastery, we learn that meditate in Sanskrit language or in Tibetan language. The etymology of meditate doesn't mean sitting down like a lotus. It's a cliché. No, it means exactly we train our mind. Mm-hmm. So we train our mind in the daily life, in the daily stress. And when we are able to be more calm in our car, on the freeway, for example, in the traffic, when we are able to be more calm at the workplace, when we listen a lot of noises and stressful environment, when we learn how to be more calm, we can be calm anytime, anywhere, mm-hmm. with no effort.
I love it. I love it. Okay, so give us an example. So I'm driving in the car and somebody cuts me off. My blood pressure goes up. I'm pissed off. I feel like this was personal because I know that the guy saw me and I get all flustered and frustrated. What would I do?
I love your question. It's very simple. And I teach for Uber drivers in Los Angeles.
Oh, what you do? This is amazing. Wow.
Yes. So we go on the freeway at the rush hour. Mm. Okay? And me, I am sitting down in the car. And imagine we do the situations together. So we are in the traffic. I snap 3 times. You drive your car. And just you listen the voice. And just we are sitting down in our car and we drive in the freeway at the rush hour. Around us, many cars, many noises. This is the world outside. But we have also a world inside us. We have a soul. We have a peace, a spiritual dimension. There is a world outside of the car, but there is also the world inside my car, inside my mind, inside my soul. How can we be more calm? How can we go from the world outside to the world inside? We can meditate like a dolphin. We breathe in. We are outside. We keep our breath and we dive inside us. And immediately, we drive more calm. We are more concentrated to all the cars around us. But we live, we feel the difference between the world outside and the world inside. We can do a last time to don't forget. We see the world outside when we drive. We breathe in, we keep our breath like a dolphin, and we dive. And we are in the peace of the ocean. We are inside us. We are in the peace in our car. And we realize immediately we are more calm. We drive more concentrate and it's more safe. And we learn to recycle the stressful energy on the freeway. How do you feel?
Oh my God. We're both asleep.
I'm asleep.
Exactly. That was amazing.
That was beautiful.
It was so
very
nice.
Soothing.
I love the dolphin analogy too.
Yes.
I've never heard that. That's beautiful.
Yes, it was because one day I swim in Santa Monica. I love to swim in the cold ocean. And one day when I swim, I saw a beautiful dolphin. He swam just close to me. And I saw him, he jumps and he dives in the peace of the ocean. And for me, it was a perfect metaphor. The stress are like the waves on the ocean. But we have the capacity to dive inside the ocean, to dive in our world inside. It is what we learn in a monastery, the difference between the world outside and the world inside. Where are we stressed in our daily life? Because most of time, we forget. We have a world inside. We have a soul. If we talk in theology, we talk about the soul. If you are Buddhist, you talk about consciousness. In neuroscience, I work since 15 years with neuroscience. We know just when we have practiced today together, if we put electrode on your brain, we see immediately you active some region of the brain that usually we don't active. We change our neurochemical hormone in the brain. So immediately we reboost our immune system. And more we are calm, more we have energy. More we are calm, more we are active and productive. So the key is to learn by simple practice like that, how can we be more calm in the daily stress? Because the next time you will take your car and the freeway at the rush hour, you will meditate like a dolphin. And day after day, your car becomes your chapel. Your car becomes your yoga room, your place to be quiet. So if you are able to be quiet on the freeway, after it's easy to be calm at home, with your family, with your coworkers, anytime, anywhere.
I love that. So great.
I'm just like, just at peace right now.
I know. Well, I want to know, Michelle, how did you get into this? And, you know, did you always have a fascination for this?
I mean, me, when I was so young, I was fascinated by the calm and the peace. So I was all time in churches, and I start to sing on stage. I was 9 years old, and I start to sing so young in the big cathedral in the world. So it was an amazing experience for me to realize that we are educated with a wrong perception of the peace. We think there are some moments we can be calm if you are in a yoga room, if you are in a mindfulness, quiet place. Mm-hmm. And there are moments when we go back to the traffic or to the job, we need to be stressed. But we realize that it's a wrong perception of the peace. Peace, it's like oxygen. We can be calm at the workplace. I teach, for example, for president of big companies in Los Angeles, or I teach for prisoners, for students in universities, for women pregnant, for children. In Los Angeles, I teach at Loyola, the school for children from high-risk communities. We see we need to be more calm, because more we are calm, more we have energy.
Yes.
More we are calm, more we are intuitive, creative, productive. More we can boost our immune system. And more we can change our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I can give you an amazing data in Los Angeles. I teach since 3 years my way of meditation for MIT Foundation. Amity Foundation in Los Angeles, it's a big foundation since 40 years for prisoners, for parolees. In California, 80% of parolees, they go back in jail.
Mm-hmm.
But with this meditation at Amity Foundation, 80% of parolees, they never go back in jail.
Wow.
They find a job. They rebuild a social life. Yes, in Los Angeles, with Amity Foundation, we have found the key since 3 years to reduce the violence in America. This is a fact. It's a data. It's not a poetic opinion. It's a reality. And you are so welcome if you want to come to see some sessions with the prisoners in LA.
Oh, wow.
This is my highest spiritual experience in my life. Me, I have the chance to have worked with Isolines Dalai Lama. We have made a book together in 2008. But my highest spiritual experience, it's to work in Los Angeles with the prisoners, the homeless. 80%, they find a job when they train the brain like that.
I love this.
This is amazing. Wow. And how long are the sessions and the duration and how many weeks?
I teach at Amity Foundation 2 times per week, Monday and Thursday at 1 p.m. The session takes 30 minutes, and it's amazing to see how prisoners, they have PTSD, they have drug addiction, alcohol, but they train the mind. I have an amazing story that I can share with you. One of my students, his name is Jason Clark. Jason has killed someone 20 years ago. But with his practice, he has totally changed his brain. He is in an amazing compassion. And before Christmas, Jason, he has asked if he can meet the daughter of his victim. Wow. And she has accepted. And she has invited Jason at Christmas Eve.
Wow.
And CNN, they came in Amity to make a show with Jason Clark. And Jason, a few days ago, he said, Michelle, I want to be a meditation teacher certified on your way of meditation. Uh-huh. I want to save the life of all the people violent in Los Angeles. Uh-huh. And I do the same in New York with the Steinhout Foundation. Uh-huh. So we see it's not the cliche of meditation. It's not blah blahtation. Huh?
Right.
We take a deep breath and we are sit down in a lotus.
Like
it's a joke. We can't say that to a prisoner.
Right.
And we can't say that to a big manager at Google. I have the chance to teach for Google Corporate in Manhattan. When you see a big manager, a big engineer at Google, one of my students, she works for Google Map in the world. She works 15 hours per day face to the computer. How can we say to someone like that, oh, my friend, can you take 30 minutes every day and take a deep breath? She said, Michelle, it's a joke. I can't do that. I am so busy and my brain is running all time. But when we practice together, how can I recycle my mental toxin? How can I be more present, more calm, face to my computer? She said, it saved my life. On my new book, she has wrote a beautiful testimonial. She says, this meditation has saved her life forever. So, yes, we can. Yes, meditation, the original etymology of meditation, like we say in a monastery, not the usual blablatation that we find anywhere in Los Angeles. But when we talk about the real meditation, to train our mind, yes, we can. We can change our life. We are not slaves of the past. I teach in Los Angeles at the Dharma Yoga Center for the woman abuse. Women who have domestic problem with violence, you are so welcome. It's amazing to see how those people, they change day after day.
This is absolutely amazing, and it's really funny. I was just listening today to the Today Show when they were also talking about prisoners, the puppy foundation where they give the prisoners puppies, and I'm so glad that they are exploring alternative ways for prisoners to get help. You know, I mean, they need it. And so I'm so grateful for what you do. I mean, you changed the lives of so many people.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I have a question.
I will perform at Amity Foundation next month. The show that I will give at the Carnegie Hall in October, I will perform before at Amity Foundation for the prisoners and also for people. You are so welcome, my friend.
Yes.
I invite you. It's an amazing spiritual experience.
Yes, we want to go. We'll talk to you after.
Yeah, we'll
because we absolutely want to go.
Yeah,
for sure. And this is just fascinating.
So I have another practical question. So let's say somebody is faced with an absolute, almost life or death situation in front of them, right? I mean, it's not like just making a mountain out of a molehill, literally face to face, like about to, you know, hit a train or something. What do you recommend in that split second when that crisis is in full-fledged action for somebody to be able to do?
Sorry, because the sound was not good with the cell phone. Can you explain the question again? Sorry. The connection was not good. Sorry.
Yes, I'm sorry. What? Yeah. No, I was just asking that if somebody's in an absolute immediate crisis situation, for example, someone pulls a gun out at them, or like what? How do you calm your body down at that moment?
Yes, I love your question. I can answer simply. So one day I teach for one of my students at Google in New York. She was close to burnout in a very, very difficult situation. And we know in America, 80% of American people are just close to burnout. We know what is a burnout. So she cried, she was in a panic attack, it was extremely painful. And I said to her, my friend, come with me in Times Square. She said, Michelle, you are crazy. Times Square is the worst place of the world. No, please. I said, no, come with me in Times Square. And in Times Square, I have teach to her to meditate like a mountain. We are that we visualize. We know that in neuroscience. If we visualize a mountain, we become a mountain. Immediately, we are more stable. We are in eternity. A mountain has no stress. A mountain is in eternity. And I said to her, my friend, if we are sitting down like a mountain in Times Square, in 5 minutes, you can go back to your job and you will be more stable and more quiet. And after 5 minutes, she cried. She said, I am so calm. She came back to the office and she said, I will never forget how to meditate like a mountain has changed my life in a few seconds.
Aww.
I say that because it's so important to have a practice efficient immediately.
Yeah.
In our world, the blablatation, it's not possible. We must have immediately, we must feel better immediately. When we are faced to prisoners, we can say to those guys, oh, my friend, take a deep breath every day, do this, do that. They don't care. Just they want to be more calm immediately. So more we are calm, less we reduce the violence. More we reduce, I mean, the violence.
Yes.
Less we have bad emotions. Less we have anxiety, PTSD. And also, we stop our brain from running all the time. It is so important. So to reply to your question, the key is to practice in the daily stress, because there is no life without problems.
Mm-hmm.
There is no ocean without waves. Every people in our life, we are one day or many days in a very stressful and difficult situation. What we need to be more calm. And if every day we practice inside the stress, not outside, inside the stress, when the wave arrives, immediately we are more calm to find a solution to a problem. We are fired from a job, for example. Our husband die, leave you. We are in a very difficult situation. But when we are more calm, we can find a solution.
I just love this so much, because everything that I've come across has been exactly like you said. Like, you sort of, okay, you need to set aside this amount of time. And, you know, I'm lucky enough that I've been able to do that. But most of the people that I know, it's like, well, I mean, they just completely blow it off because they're like, well, I can't dedicate that time. And so I really love your whole philosophy about kind of learning in the moment. And there is no set aside time. We, you know, it's visualizing. It's, you know, staying it kind of in our own mind and calm. And I just really love that.
But, you know, it's interesting what you say, because We are educated in meditation in America by teacher who never live in a monastery most of the time.
So
they, no, it's true. They teach something that they never live.
Yes.
So, no, it is a thing to talk about spirituality. It is another thing to live in a monastery. So what we do, we don't lose time. We use the time. It's extremely important that we say now, because every people, we are so busy, we have no time to take a deep breath like this, like that. It's a joke. We see it doesn't work. And it doesn't work because when we go back to our daily stress, we are stressed again. And we know, I work with Dr. Natalie Trent in Harvard University. And one day she explained to me, after electrodes, they see on a scanner, if you meditate outside of your stress, it's beautiful. But when you go back to our daily stress, you lose, according to neuroscience, you lose 93% of the benefit of the calm.
Wow.
So it creates a damage in the brain, because it's like, you know, when you have a nice weekend and the Monday morning, you must go to the job. So in 1 hour, you lose the benefit of your weekend. It is the same thing. So we don't lose time. We use the time. For example, we are in the traffic. We love to practice in the traffic. We rediscover my car. It's not a place to be stressful. My car can become my chapel, my soul. My job, my stressful environment can become the best teacher in my life, because more the world is stressful, more it stimulates inside my heart that I must be more calm. And it is very interesting. We can see that in America, everyone, we need to be very active and productive. So what we need, not to be stressed, but to be more calm.
Yes.
Because more we are calm, more the mind is clear.
Yes.
More we are calm, more we are stable, more we are happy all time, and we are more grateful. So the goal of the meditation, it's not to become Buddhist or to become a yoga master. No, the goal of to train our mind, it's to become more alive. The goal of the life, it's to be more alive, to be more grateful. Me, I talk with you in your show. I am so happy. I am so grateful to talk with you. You are so sweet. You do a good job with your show. You give hope to many people who listen to you. After I must give a session, I must rehearse for a show, I am the man the most happy of the world. So every situation, it's not one more day, it's one more chance. Today I wake up, I have one more chance in my life to don't be a zombie, to don't be a slave of the stressful environment, but to learn that I can recycle, I can use this stressful environment to discover there is a world outside, but there is also a world inside my heart.
Oh, so beautiful.
I absolutely love this. And I can attest, I started a Vedic meditation in 2007. And I remember I started, and within a few weeks, my apartment got robbed. And I remember talking to a friend of mine, and she said, you know, Kelly, you sound calmer than you normally do. And I said, you know, well, I started this meditation practice every day. And she said, I could, and, you know, I hadn't noticed. I was too close to it. But an outsider, I mean, she could tell that, I mean, just things, I know exactly what she was saying. Like, I was a little bit calmer. I was able to kind of pick up the pieces in a more systematic way because my brain could function more effectively. So I just wanted to attest.
Well, Kelly, you lost it. No, I'm kidding.
I'm still pretty energetic and hyper, but I really credit so much of, I mean, you know, of my de-stressing to meditation. I'm a huge proponent of it. And I, again, I really just love the idea of it in the moment. And I feel like, I mean, especially the corporate America, I mean, that is really kind of the people who need it the most. And so, you know, with that philosophy, I think we can target a lot of people that way.
And also,
it's funny, you know, one day I was in Google in Mountain View in California, so where there is Larry Page, the big boss of Google.
Yeah.
And they show me a beautiful room for yoga and mindfulness. I say, oh, it's so beautiful. And they say, but there is something we don't understand. When our manager or engineer, they go back after to the desk, they are stressed again. Mm-hmm. But we have paid a beautiful room for quiet. I say, yes, it's a disaster in the brain, because when we are like that, we feed the wrong perception of meditation. We create an imbalance in the brain. There is a compartmentation. There is my quiet room. There is my stressful job. No, peace, it's everywhere, anytime. When people ask to me how much time we need to meditate,
yeah.
we don't need to meditate. We can meditate 24 hours per day.
Mm-hmm.
Because meditation, it's a perception of the life. Life doesn't exist. Life doesn't exist. It's our interpretation of the life
mm-hmm.
who exists. My car can be the most stressful place of the world in the traffic. And my car can become my yoga room, my chapel, my shrine, the place I realize, I see clearly the difference between the world outside and the world inside. The world inside my soul, the world inside my car. It's the same thing in the job. My workplace can be a disaster of stress. Every co-workers are so stressed. But it can be also my beautiful place to be more calm every day when I am sitting down face to my computer like a mountain. When I learn how to recycle all the stressful energies that I breathe every day in my job. I teach that for a producer for NFL, for example, for the TV. She is one of my students, and she say, Michelle, every day now, I recycle, I detox my emotion immediately when I receive a stressful energy. It is not the cliche of to say to this person, oh, take a deep breath, take 20 minutes per day, the morning, the evening. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's not efficient. It's not adapted to our time now.
Right, right.
Yeah. Well, that's what I love about your book, Meditation for Daily Stress, is it takes that sort of weirdness of meditation. Like, people hear meditation like, oh, that's only for gurus, or that's
right.
only for these types of people. You know what I'm saying? And so it's really nice to make it just really simplified. So what you're basically saying is at any point, at any time in our day, we can embrace that moment and make it calm and peaceful or stressful. It's really our choice by the practices that we put in motion.
Mm-hmm.
To live is to choose.
Yes.
To live is to choose. If I decide to be more and more stressed, and stress, you are doctor. You know, it's a neurochemical addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Every emotion, it's an addiction.
Wow.
And we know that in the brain now since 20 years. So more we are stressed, more we will be stressed and more we destroy our immune system. And easier we can have Alzheimer, and we can have a lot of big sickness, like cancer or big
mm-hmm.
sickness.
Mm-hmm.
But when we practice meditation inside the stress, when we rediscover, yes, I can be calm in the traffic. Yes, I can be calm in my job, in my daily life. This is a miracle of the life. Suddenly, we realize that it was possible and it was simple. It's just because we are educated with a stupid perception of the life.
Yes.
we are educated with blablatation, not meditation, blablatation.
Now, did you create the word blablatation? I love it.
That.
It's hysterical.
Yes, because it's interesting. Blablatation, it's a meditation that we find anywhere.
Uh-huh.
But when we go back to our life, we are stressed again. So it's a blabla for me. And also, it's not the etymology of the word. It's not what we do in a monastery. So it is the reason why I say all the time, it's a thing to teach blablatation. It's another thing to live in a monastery.
Yes.
We it's not at all the same.
So what is a day in the life of living in a monastery? How many years did you do that?
It was around 2006, 7, 8. So I was, first I was in the monastery of His Holiness Dalai Lama in Dharamsala. I was in the guest house of the monastery to make the book. And after, I was in Kopan Monastery. So Kopan is in Nepal, in Kathmandu. Kopan is the biggest monasteries of Himalayas. So we are 1,000 monks, and you have around 1,000 nuns.
Wow.
So it's and also in Buddhism, I have a teacher. In Tibetan, we say a Rinpoche. A Rinpoche, it's a sort of spiritual father, a spiritual director. And my Rinpoche was Chepa Dorje Rinpoche. And in Buddhism, he's very well known because he's so, so strict. And Chepa Dorje Rinpoche has an amazing story. He was the last descendant of Marpa, so the disciple of the Buddha of Siddhartha. So it's an amazing lineage. And so it's a special life when we live like that in a monastery.
Now, do you teach singles? Are you only working in corporations? Or, you know, how can people, you know, can people book a session with you?
I teach for one-to-one many times because every person, it's a special case.
Yeah.
Every person is very unique. So it's one-to-one. Of course, I teach for group, like for corporate, and also, for example, for prisoners, but also one-to-one for prisoners sometimes.
Oh, that's good.
And I mean, we have too much demand, so I train many teachers in Los Angeles,
yeah.
Also in New York, in San Francisco, especially for all my friends, gay and lesbian, in the communities. They have a lot of suffering with the judgment.
Yes.
So one of my teachers certified, he lives in San Francisco, and he will open the class specially to help gay and lesbian to recycle the judgment that they receive every day.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So we have too much demand, so I train 15 teachers now.
Wow. That's amazing. This is absolutely amazing.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Wow.
So again, we're talking with Michel Pascal, and he wrote the book Meditation for Daily Stress, 10 Practices for Immediate Well-Being.
Give Kelly a tool for her two little boys, because...
Yes, Michelle, I'm going to have a personal challenge for you. If you can come to my house and remain calm. They are the two most lovely, delicious,
adorable,
energetic, but
monsters.
Chaotic kids. I mean, they are like, you know, just imagine like a robot toy that's like out of control. So, yeah, I would love, you know, yeah. How do we put this in practice for kids?
I teach a lot of time for kids. I can share with you a beautiful story as an answer. A few months ago, one of my teachers certified, her name is Nadine. Nadine, she's music teacher at Loyola, the school of Gustavo Dudamel, the LA Philharmonic, for the children. And the children comes from high-risk communities. And one day, there is a child. He was suddenly, so young, 9, 10 years. He was suddenly violent, very violent. So she must ask to all the students, the children, to go in another room and just to stay with the child, and they called the parents because the child was extremely violent. They were scared of him.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, my teacher, she said to him, "Do you want to meditate like a dolphin?" And he was so surprised suddenly. When he listened to this question, it breaks immediately his sort of PTSD, his violence. And she has meditated like a dolphin with him. And a few minutes after, he said, "I am so, so sorry." He came to see all his friends, and he said, "So sorry, my friends." And he became more calm immediately. So, yes, we can practice with our children. Of course, I can come to your home. I will be so happy.
Yes.
But maybe you will become an amazing meditation teacher for your children.
Well, both.
I want to be there when this happens.
Yes, exactly. My whole family could use it, except for my dog. He's already calm. But other than that, everybody else in the household could use it.
The thing also, it's when we guide a meditation, in Buddhism, we use the powa. Powa in Tibetan means the transfusion of the consciousness and the transfusion of energy. So it's like in music. When we guide, we are in a sort of a very relaxed attitude. And immediately the person feels our energy. Mm-hmm. Immediately we give to the person the power. We transfuse our energy to the person. It's not a poetic blah blah, it's a scientist, because yes, everything is energy. So we must be what we teach. We yeah. must be calm. And when we are like that, we talk directly to the soul of the child. We don't talk to the mental. We don't talk to the psychological part. We talk soul to soul. And immediately a child, a prisoner, a manager, a student, anyone, feel suddenly we are more calm. It's not magical. It's just because when we guide meditation in a monastery, we are what we say. We are what we pray. We are what we visualize. And immediately the person feels we can't lie. It's not possible. I mean, when I am face 100 prisoners every week, I can't say to those guys, oh, my friend, do this, do that. They are tired.
Yeah.
All times we listen motivator in our life, coach, you must be like this, you must be like that. No. First, we need to be more calm. When we are more calm, we can find any solution. We have energy. We can be so happy. So just we need to be more calm immediately without effort.
You were absolutely wonderful. We're about a few minutes out of time. Do you have any last parting words that you want to pass on? Or again, we should also mention October 17th, you'll be teaching at Carnegie Hall, which is so exciting. But yeah, anything else that you want to share?
Yes, because I am meditation teacher and singer. So I come from music in cathedral in the world, and also I come from jazz music. So I sing during many years with the musician of Pat Metheny, the guitar player, and also the musician of Carlos Santana.
Oh, wow.
So, yes, they are my friends. So and a few weeks ago, Deepak Chopra has invited me to sing a meditation concert before his class in Los Angeles for his new book.
Oh, that's great.
So I will perform my meditation concert at Carnegie Hall, October 17 at 8 p.m. But next month, I will perform in Los Angeles at Amity Foundation with the prisoners. So I will give you exactly the date, but
yes,
I will know today or tomorrow. And you are so welcome. And also, I teach every Saturday morning in Los Angeles at 11:15 a.m. I teach at the Dharma Yoga Center of L.A., for just a little class, and it's just $5. Me, I wanted to break the rules also of the money, because I was shocked when I arrived from my monastery in America. I say, meditation, it's only for fancy people, for people who have money. But when we have no money, what we do? So I was sad to see that meditation teacher,
yeah,
they take care of you just if you have money. You have no money, you can be stressed, you can die.
Right.
No, I want to break that. So I have my class for $5.
Wow.
Every Saturday morning at the Dharma Yoga Center, so at 11:15. And you have all the information on my TV online, michelpascal.tv. So on michelpascal.tv, you have the schedule, the conference, the concert. Of course, all is free, and you have a lot of videos to practice in difficult situations.
And Michelle,
oh,
just
so wonderful.
For everybody to know, it's M-I-C-H-E-L, and then Pascal is P-A-S-C-A-L, and then .tv.
You have
exactly. I love your French accent.
No, yours is amazing. Oh. Well, thank you so much. You are a gem.
Guest.
You are
so
such a lovely being. I wish I could hug you. So imagine a cyber hug.
Yes.
I can't wait to meet you soon in Los Angeles. I really love your energy. You are so sweet together. So sweet.
Two cyber
hugs. And really, I don't say that to be kind, like a blablatation. But in our world, we need to have a good energy. Your show brings hope for people.
Aww.
I imagine someone sad or depressed. Just to listen your voice, when I have listened the beginning of your show today, it's like two birds. You sing in the sky. It's beautiful when you talk.
You're so cute. Well, thank
I
you
feel
so much.
Good
I know.
This
me
is
too.
Awesome.
You have beautiful energy,
thank
Michelle.
You.
Thank you so much. And we're going to be in contact. So
for sure. Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All my love. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my God. Is
delightful.
He delicious
yes.
or what?
Just delightful. So exciting.
Sweet.
So we are, again, we are not certain who our guest will be next week. We got a couple of them waiting to chime in. So, yep, it'll be fun, whatever it is.
Yes.
Right? So anything else?
I think that's it.
All right.
Well, thank you guys so much. Oh, actually, well, you can if you want to find us on Twitter, it's at DocTherapist1. And then our Gmail is DocTherapist@gmail.com. And you can always visit our website at DocAndTherapist.com.
We love you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.